As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Okay, Mike, I think I remember you telling me that your kid's last day of school was last week. Did I get that right?
Yeah, they finished up just last week. So to them, summer has officially started.
Okay, it's always fun. I remember that feeling of the final day, mix of emotions, right? You're pumped to do all the fun summer things, but you know, you kind of miss that being with your friends every day.
Yeah, that's definitely how it is for sure. But I tell them, hey, enjoy the summer because it's going to go by quickly. And then fall's going to be here soon enough.
Okay, well, let's not skip over summer just yet, Mike. I'm looking forward to summer too.
No, I don't want to skip summer by for sure. I mean, I'm looking forward to summer as well. But yeah, you know, I don't know. For me, it just feels like it does go by quick. And before we know it, the product conference is going to be here. That's in the fall. I'll be teaching again. That always happens every fall.
That's right. You always teach every fall as an adjunct professor at the Case Western Reserve University, right?
Yeah, that's right. I started the very first undergraduate product management class at Case, the same place where I got my MBA almost 20 years ago. But yeah, I've been teaching it now the last few years, and it's been a lot of fun. I do it every fall.
So here's where we get to it. How has ChatGPT and AI in general started to change things for you in the classroom?
Well, that's honestly the question that I am asking myself because it's still an open question. I mean, ChatGPT only came out in the late fall and I only teach in the fall. So I really didn't have to deal with it too much, but I'm going to have to deal with it this upcoming fall semester. And that's what today's episode is going to be all about. Just how exactly ChatGPT and all of the other AI platforms, how does it change the game once it reaches the classroom?
And look, there have already been some wild stories. So yeah, let's dig into it. There's a lot here.
Right after we roll the intro.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We are your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
All right, before we get into everything, though, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Okay, so ChatGPT goes to school. That's what we're calling the episode, right?
I think we should. I think it's pretty fitting because, yeah, I mean, ChatGPT's found its way into the classroom, whether the teachers and the professors like it or not. I mean, it's technology that students are using to essentially be their go-to tutor, you know, helping them with literally any topic they need help with.
Yeah, and it's being used by nearly everyone at this point. Here's a Fox News segment that aired recently where they interviewed college students about their experiences with ChatGPT, and let's hear what they have to say.
If you go into like a library right now, you can see sort of everyone's using ChatGPT. And I think, you know, there's people who are using it for bad that are just like, you know, using it to write the essay for them. And there's people who are using it sort of like Google as like a research tool. So
it's not, you don't see people getting in trouble. Or do professors say, you know, do not use this for your final paper? Do they say that?
I guess like it's still very new, so I haven't had any explicit.
You can kind of get away with it still, right?
We're still maybe like in that era, but yeah, I think it depends on the professor. I think there are people who are definitely using it to like just write the whole essay for them. But again, it's like Google. I think it's also a tool.
It's a tool, a new tool, and a tool that's unlike any other tool that they've had access to.
Right. And so for that reason, it's hard to know how to really deal with it. I mean, look, again, I'm an adjunct professor. A lot of the assignments that I give for my product management class, they're essay based. You know, I found that ChatGPT might not be good for everything, but one of the things it seems to be pretty good at is writing competent, at least, essays. And, you know, I'd have to be naive to think that even if I said to my students, you know, don't use ChatGPT when writing this essay, that the students wouldn't use ChatGPT. I mean, for some people, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to listen.
Yeah. So it's a tool. It's a very tricky tool to deal with as a professor, I'd imagine. And going back to that Fox News segment, even students admit that some use cases might be considered cheating. I don't know. Some may not be, but it's a gray area.
I've actually never used it to write a paper. And I think that that's something that across the board, people are kind of seeing as not being very academically honest, but I think it can be used as a tool. It's a very powerful tool to use, for example, to show you the steps of a math problem or a financial math problem. But I think if you're using it as a crutch instead of learning the material yourself, I think it's concerning that young professionals might not actually know the subject
matter.
So the student says she's never used it to write an essay, which is great. I wish she was one of my students in my class. I just have a feeling that many students do, right? Because honestly, it's pretty hard to know whether they've used AI or not to write their essay.
Yeah, and one professor learned about that the hard way.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about that professor from Texas A&M Commerce, aren't you?
Yeah, that's where the professor was convinced that his students, all of them, used ChatGPT to cheat on one of their final essays, and he failed all of them. And then it actually prevented some of them from graduating on time.
Yeah, it almost did. There was only one problem. They weren't actually cheating.
Right. There's that. Here's a clip from a recent NBC News segment with more on what happened.
A controversy is brewing over ChatGPT at a college in Texas. A professor at Texas A&M University Commerce is on blast for accusing his students of using ChatGPT on their final assignments. But here's the thing. Many of those students did not use ChatGPT, according to the university. The firestorm started when Jared Mum, an instructor in the Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources Department, sent his students this email, which went viral on Reddit.
Yeah, and I should read that email to you. So let me find it here. Okay, here it is. So again, this is what the professor sent to his students after their final assignment. Good afternoon. You should be able to see your final grade in the course at this point on D2L, which I'm assuming DTL is probably the platform they're using to share grades and all that. Okay, before everyone emails me individually, read this email carefully. I'm grading your last three assignments. I've opened my own account for ChatGPT. I copied and pasted your responses in the account, and ChatGPT will tell me if the program generated the content. I put everyone's last three assignments through two separate times and asked if they were both claimed by ChatGPT, and if they were, you will receive a zero.
Final grade for the course is due today at 5 p.m. I will be giving everybody in the course an X. There will be another assignment that you will complete if you're unhappy with the grade you see in D2L by 5 p.m. today. If you're happy with your grade, simply do not turn in the next assignment. You'll have until Friday at 5 p.m. to complete the assignment. It will be emailed to me as a Word document. If the timestamp is after 5 p.m. on a Friday, you will receive that grade that currently is in the computer. The assignment is worth 200 points. He then describes the assignment and goes on. You are to use 5 sources, and as I run this through the ChatGPT program, if there is any inkling of its usage, not only will your grade stand in the class, but we will proceed beyond the class grade to the Office of Academic Dishonesty, and any further involvement in my classes or any other classes at this university then becomes the issue. And that grade X, it's basically an incomplete grade, but if you had that, you wouldn't be able to graduate.
Okay, so he really went after them hard there.
I'd say so. There is just one problem.
Yeah.
In fact, ChatGPT cannot actually tell if you enter text into it, if it's been created by it or not. But the professor didn't know that, and so he took their assignments and asked ChatGPT, hey, did you create this? And ChatGPT very confidently said, why, yes, I did. It looks like I did create this text. And even though the way it's programmed, it couldn't even know that. And so the professor just believed ChatGPT, and honestly, kind of hard to blame him, right? I mean, if you didn't know that ChatGPT couldn't possibly know that, the way ChatGPT gives you answers, it does so very confidently. And when it says, yes, I actually did create this, it's kind of hard, you know, not to believe it.
Yeah, and again, it's the early days for this kind of tech, so these mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah, so Texas A&M Commerce did come out and make a statement. Let's go back to that NBC News segment to hear it.
In a statement, a Texas A&M University Commerce spokesperson told NBC News that several of the students who received a zero have been exonerated. One student actually came forward admitting to using ChatGPT, and other students temporarily have a grade of X, which means incomplete, as the professor works to determine if ChatGPT was used or not. The statement also reads, quote, the use of AI in coursework is a rapidly changing issue that confronts all learning institutions.
It is pretty ironic that one of the students actually did admit to using ChatGPT after all.
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny. But the professor retracted the X grades and the students all passed as planned. But again, let's be real. Some students are cheating using ChatGPT, and I don't know, one of them admitted it, sort of.
Sort of?
Yeah, Joanna Stern, the tech columnist at the Wall Street Journal, went back to school in a way, and she essentially cosplayed as a student, taking AP literature for a day to see if she could pass the class using just AI. The result? Well, let's go to this Wall Street Journal segment to find out.
I enrolled in 12th grade at High Tech High School in Secaucus, New Jersey. Okay, fine. The teacher, Michael Diamond, let me in his class since he'd already been playing around with the AI tool and was intrigued by my cheating experiment. So, did ChatGPT pass or fail? We devised two challenges to find out. Challenge number one, write an essay. Before coming to class, Mr. Diamond emailed me my assignment.
In a 500 to 1,000 word essay, compose an argument that attempts to situate Ferris Bueller's Day Off as an existentialist text.
The assignment also said to make explicit comparisons or connections between Ferris Bueller's Day Off and The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. I edited the assignment text slightly, pasted it into ChatGPT, and in about a minute, I had it, a full essay. I was impressed. It drew parallels to Gregor, the main character in Kafka's book, and to Ferris. It had varied sentence structure and good grammar and was decently organized. I put it in a document and submitted it to Mr. Diamond via email. Then he did his thing.
You ended up with a 3 out of 6 on the AP rubric. I was a little generous because it's early in the year. You showed some promise, but there are some issues you really need to work on. And you got your thesis point right away. You wrote, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a film that can be interpreted as an existentialist text with its themes of individuality, freedom, and the search for meaning. Unfortunately, in that same opening paragraph, you misattributed a line that was said by Cameron to Ferris.
You sure of that?
That I am sure of.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand.
There were other factual inaccuracies in my essay. ChatGPT confused Cameron with Ferris, saying Ferris was reserved and rarely seen next to his peers.
I think maybe you were thinking of Cameron, but you wrote Ferris.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I was thinking, yeah.
You said that the setting of the metamorphosis was suburbia, which it was not. It was an urban setting. No, we need to work on being more accurate in your details. And I did not see a lot of vivid writing here.
Not easy for a professional journalist and writer to hear.
The overall quality of your writing puts you in the lower 30th percentile. I think you may have the mind to get there, but it's the skills that you need to work on.
It doesn't feel good.
Challenge one, a pass, because technically a 3 out of 6 on an AP essay is like a B or a C.
Okay, so it's a pass, technically, but I don't know, the teacher wasn't too impressed.
No, but did the teacher know that she was using AI? Maybe that's the most important question here.
Well, let's find out. We'll go back to that segment.
I don't think that I would catch it, to be honest. I mean, first of all, if you look at the actual context of when I'm grading, right, I'm going through 60 of these at a clip, and I'm looking for specific things.
So he wouldn't have caught it. It's not to say that new technology out there couldn't catch it. You know, there are platforms coming out that sort of deal with, you know, checking whether something was generated by AI. But this teacher by himself couldn't catch that she was actually using AI.
She goes on to give ChatGPT other tests, helping her participant in a small group discussion, and it didn't go so well. But again, it's early tech. Who knows what may be possible in just a few months?
All right, let's pause here and let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination.
Before the break, we were going back to school with ChatGPT, sort of. We learned how ChatGPT has been used in the classroom, both by students and teachers, albeit not in ways that maybe ChatGPT or the students or the teachers were all intending.
Regardless, it's being used and it's a big problem for some companies, namely the companies who provide products and services that very well may be displaced or disrupted by this new tech.
And what companies might that include?
Well, let's cut to this Yahoo Tech News segment from about a month ago to find out.
Let's move on to another mover that is moving a lot, and that is Chegg. The shares plummeting some 45% right now after delivering lower than expected second quarter forecasts. The education tech company seeing impacts from ChatGPT. And we actually had the chance to speak with Chegg's CEO, Dan Rosenzweig, about AI. We talked to him in Davos earlier this year, and it just puts a fine point on how quickly things have changed. Listen to what he said then.
I think we'd all agree after using ChatGPT, even as extraordinary as it is and even as the evolution that's going to come, it still needs human editors. The user interface, although cool, isn't really valuable to the students who are looking to learn and to evolve and need multi-platform, multimedia way of learning. So we'll use it to continue to enhance what we offer, and that's why our service gets better and better and better, and our NPS scores are through the roof. And so actually, I think it's going to be a real benefit to Chegg.
Cue the narrator saying it was not a benefit to Chegg. They said that Chegg started seeing a significant decline in their business starting in March, and they attributed 100% of that decline to ChatGPT. And Wall Street did not like it. Their shares tanked very badly.
Yeah, like 50% overnight. And since the time of recording, they have not recovered at all.
Yeah, and that's despite Chegg launching their own AI offering, actually.
Oh, I didn't actually know about that.
Yes, that's Cheggmate. And actually, they had launched it even before their stock, sort of crashed, that 50% decline. And well, here it is. This is from Chegg itself on Cheggmate.
Okay, have you wondered if there's an AI that can actually help you learn more efficiently and make your study sessions easier? Well, now there will be, with our new AI study tool, Cheggmate. But Cheggmate isn't just another AI chatbot. It's combining the power of GPT-4's advanced AI with Chegg's extensive content library to provide an AI learning companion that we believe is going to revolutionize the student experience. Okay, but what does this actually mean and how is this actually going to work? Well, let's say you have a test coming up and you need to study, molecular bond structures. You will be able to ask Cheggmate to come up with practice exam questions for you, help you figure out where you're going wrong with a specific problem, and as an added bonus, Cheggmate will remember who you are so you can leave and come back as needed without having to worry about your AI study buddy forgetting where you left off. So finally, no more scrolling through endless search results hoping to find reliable help. Just type your question into Cheggmate and learn what you need to know on the spot.
It's kind of interesting how Chegg's stock went way down, even though they seemingly do have an AI strategy.
Yeah, the question is it a good AI strategy? I mean, they're relying on OpenAI's technology for this, just like almost every other company out there. And they came out with Cheggmate in April, just in time for school to be over. I mean, their business doesn't really pick up until the fall, so it's going to be a long time to wait and see if students will actually use Cheggmate. But they've already felt the effects of ChatGPT on their business.
And the reality is that any sort of education business could be subject to this kind of disruption. With ChatGPT and AI platforms, things are changing.
Yeah, and it really should be changing. It should continue to change and evolve. At least that's according to Code.org's Hadi Partovi. He, at the Future of Everything Festival, was interviewed about his take on AI and education and how things change and evolve and may need to continue to change and evolve within the next decade.
I mean, it's very hard to think 10 to 10 or more years time, but it's worth noting that a student starting kindergarten today is going to be graduating in the late 2030s.
Yeah.
And so our school system needs to think about what are things going to look like then. But I believe in the long run, education will be much more personalized and AI is going to be much more of a tutor that you'll learn from. And your teacher is going to be much more of a coach. And the personalization of learning also means much more adaptation of what a student's passions are, rather than everybody needs to memorize the same information from all these subjects. There's a smaller level of stuff that everybody's going to need to know in their heads with access to a lot more depth if they use technology and AI for learning.
Hadi goes on to talk about the risks of AI in education, and since these are such early days, there are many to consider.
What is the danger here? A lot of people.
There's many risks, and yeah. Part of the reason schools have been banning this, the main reason they've been banning it is it does all the homework for you, so they're not sure what the meaning of the way the school system works is going to be if it does that. But there are other risks. There's certainly the risk of misinformation, because the way generative AI works, it doesn't know everything. It's kind of a really well-optimized guessing machine. It does its really good best guess at what you look for, but that best guess could be completely false. So misinformation is one issue. Bias is another issue, because the data that AI has trained on is human information and human learning, and if that human created learning has bias, the AI will perpetuate that bias. Student privacy and data privacy is another risk. But what I'd say is the greatest risk of all is not changing, not evolving education, and just assuming that the education system from the 1800s is going to be equally relevant in the 2030s.
The biggest risk is doing nothing. It's ignoring it. Because let's face it, we can't ignore artificial intelligence. It's already here.
Yeah, it is here, and it is here to stay, at least so it seems. So let's take one more quick break here. And when we get back, we're going to hear about something that is, I don't know, maybe a little bit more positive. All right, before the break, we heard several stories about AI being used in education today, and most of the stories, they're kind of anxiety-inducing, right? I mean, students using ChatGPT to write essays for them, professors trying to use AI to catch those students, watching it backfire, you know, companies being disrupted and displaced, losing half their value overnight, at least for Chegg.
And look, we're not trying to be alarmist here. These are just some of the more visible stories we're hearing about when it comes to AI and education. But let's face it, there really can be a lot of good that comes out of this. Maybe artificial intelligence will actually save education.
Yeah, at least that's what Sal Khan, founder of Khan Academy, argues in a recent TED talk that he gave where he unveiled some things that Khan Academy is working on. But he also talked about how AI could change the game in general. And let's cut to an excerpt from Sal's talk.
But I think we're at the cusp of using AI for probably the biggest positive transformation that education has ever seen. And the way we're going to do that is by giving every student on the planet an artificially intelligent but amazing personal tutor. And we're going to give every teacher on the planet an amazing artificially intelligent teaching assistant. And we think this is just the very tip of the iceberg of where this can actually go. And I'm pretty convinced, which I wouldn't have been even a year ago, that we together have a chance of addressing the Two Sigma problem and turning it into a Two Sigma opportunity, dramatically accelerating education as we know it. Now, just to take a step back at a meta level, obviously we heard a lot today, the debates on either side. There's folks who take a more pessimistic view of AI. They say this is scary. There's all these dystopian scenarios. We maybe want to slow down. We want to pause. On the other side, there are the more optimistic folks to say, well, we've gone through inflection points before. We've gone through the Industrial Revolution. It was scary, but it all kind of worked out. And what I'd argue right now is I don't think this is like a flip of a coin or this is something where we'll just have to like wait and see which way it turns out. I think everyone here and beyond, we are active participants in this decision. I'm pretty convinced that the first line of reasoning is actually almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. That if we act with fear, and if we say, hey, we just gotta stop doing this stuff, what's really gonna happen is the rule followers might pause, might slow down, but the rule breakers, as Alexander mentioned, the totalitarian governments, the criminal organizations, they're only going to accelerate. And that leads to what I am pretty convinced is the dystopian state, which is the good actors have worse AIs than the bad actors. But I'll also, you know, talk to the optimist a little bit. I don't think that means that, oh yeah, then we should just relax and just hope for the best. That might not happen either. I think all of us together have to fight like hell to make sure that we put the guardrails, we put in, when the problems arise, reasonable regulations, but we fight like hell for the positive use cases. Because very close to my heart, and obviously there's many potential positive use cases, but perhaps the most powerful use case, and perhaps the most poetic use case, is if AI, artificial intelligence, can be used to enhance HI, human intelligence, human potential, and human purpose.
And it gives you something to think about. Yes, there are issues to deal with, and the implications of putting AI in the hands of bad actors could be scary, but What if we can literally give access to a personal tutor, a personal teaching assistant to every student and teacher out there? What kind of positive impact might that make in the world?
Yeah, might it be the technology that we've been waiting for to actually increase human intelligence? I mean, you could make the argument that AI can reduce human intelligence because people become too reliant on AI. I mean, that's the argument that I hear a lot of people make. But what if the truth is actually the opposite? Maybe it's an amazing tool that in our collective tool belts helps us become a lot smarter and gives us the ability to make a much bigger impact than if we didn't have access to that tool.
If we're asking ourselves, what if? When it comes to those AI technologies and education, it's important to think of the positive what ifs rather than only dwell on the negative.
Yeah, at least it's something to think about, right? And really, that's going to wrap things up for today's episode. I mean, we could probably do a second episode on this topic and a third and a fourth and a fifth all within the next year. I'm sure there's going to be many, many developments, but I think it's best to pause things here and see what happens in the months to come. So we're going to wrap things up. For Michael Sacca, I'm Mike Belcito, and this is Rocketship.fm.
Thank you so much for listening to Rocketship.fm. It is your support that keeps the show going. If you can, take a second and leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps out the show so much. We're also part of the Podglomerate Network. And if you'd like to listen to more great shows from the Podglomerate, go to thepodglomerate.com to see the full show listings.
Rocketship.fm is produced in partnership with Product Collective, a community for product people. Go to productcollective.com and get access to our weekly newsletter, live video interviews, Slack community, product job board, and a whole lot more. Again, just go to productcollective.com.